Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16 this morning. John, chapter 3, verse 16. Now, I started this message over again last week because I gave it a new title. And it's called the 316 Principle to Fellowship. Okay? The 316 Principle to Fellowship. And basically, the Lord took me through the scriptures and I came up with six or eight, I don't know how many points I got here, all with 316 scriptures in it. And so I said, well, it must be the 316 principle. So anyway, that's what we're starting out, because I want to talk to you about fellowship. I'm telling you, you got to hear me. You got to listen to what I'm saying, because I can't say it loud enough that God wants to talk to you. Listen to me. God wants to speak to you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to minister to you. He wants you to hear from heaven, because if you hear from heaven and you ever know that you've heard from heaven and you hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you, well, then I want to tell you something. Everything in your life changes, because then all of a sudden you have a direction. You have a sound. It's like if you ever see or hear, or if you're playing an instrument and you hit the strings all just right in it, and you hear that sound and you know that's a G chord, and you're like, wow, that's what it's supposed to sound like. Then you can always listen for that sound again. But when people today, there's so many voices in the world, so many things speaking, so many things yakking, so many things just going off at our ears all the time. If you don't learn to what is sometimes called walking in the Spirit, or I'm just calling it having fellowship with God, if you don't learn His voice and learn to hear what's coming from heaven, it's easy to get sidetracked. I told y'all about the other day that I was listening to, I was just going through and looking, doing my own study, and I was looking up some things, and I was looking at different websites of different ministers, and this guy was saying some things, and it was like he was saying everything right. It was like he had the scriptures right, but then all of a sudden it's like it starts to kind of bend it, and it starts to kind of, he's kind of saying things that I don't really see that the scriptures are saying, and he's bending it around. Then before long it gets down to, I'm at the end of it, I'm like down here in my spirit, it just, what the man was preaching and what he was saying, it just did not line up to me. I knew it was wrong. I knew that from the spirit of the word and the spirit of God that I hear speaking to me, that it did not line up. Now, on the opposite of that, I was got into some other stuff, some end time stuff, and I was just studying, looking at it for myself, and I came across this guy's website, and man, just go, just like bullets shooting into my heart. Everything he was saying was just right on, and I was like, who is this guy? And I finally found him and looked him up and never heard of him, ever, and I was trying to research who this guy is, because everything he was saying just spoke truth to my heart. You see, folks, you can, even the devil used scripture. Even the devil used scripture on Jesus. The devil quoted Psalms 91 when he was tempting Jesus. So in this day that we live in, which I'm telling you are the last days, because I guarantee you we're closer today than we were yesterday from Jesus coming back, huh? That's the prophet Robert speaking. Got that figured out. And tomorrow will be closer to the end times than we are today. I don't know when the end of time is, but I do know that we're closer to it. But it says that one of the main things that's going to happen in the world is that there's going to be deceiving spirits. There's going to be things rising up and coming to people and deceiving people to get them off of truth. So as I've talked to other ministers and visited with other people and things going on in other churches, I'm telling you, God wants us free from the bondages of life. He wants us free from the voices of life coming to us, to hear His voice and Him to fellowship with us. You should be waking up in the morning and hearing the sweet voice of the Spirit of God speaking to you and saying, man, you're an awesome person. I'm so glad you're up this morning and going. I've had great thoughts about you all night when you were asleep. I was thinking about you. You say, well, that's just crazy talk. No, it's absolutely scripture. I could stand right here this morning and just prophesy, yay, hey, the saith the Lord, and prophesy scripture after scripture after scripture to you, and I guarantee you I'd be right. Not because I'm a great prophet, because I know what the Word says. And if you just apply the Word to your life, you already got a lot of voice of God speaking to you. Amen? When you wake up in the morning and you say, you know, today I can just feel it. I feel it. It's going to be a bad day. I just know it. It's just going to be terrible. This day, I'm going to hate this day. This day is going to be miserable. You're listening to either yourself, your flesh, because you either ate too much pizza the last night, or you stayed up too late, or something's not functioning right in your body anyway. Because I tell you what, if I wake up every morning and I try to live my life by the way I feel, I would stay in bed most of my life. I'd just get a hospital bed and put it in out there at my house. Because when I wake up in the morning, the older I get, my body does not want to respond to walking in life. And, you know, I have to tell my body how I want to feel and tell my body what it's going to do. Hello? And so I'm putting this into a way that we can kind of understand it. And I gave you last week five, what I'm calling levels of friendship, just to put something in the natural so you can understand naturally, levels of friendship to kind of know where your relationship is with the Lord. Because see, listen to me. When I told you the story about my grandfather giving me that Bible for graduation, I prayed when I was in school. I prayed when we had football games. I prayed to make it home when I was drunk. I prayed all kinds of situations where I needed God to deliver me in emergency situations. But I had no relationship with him. I wouldn't have known Jesus if he had walked in the room with a, you know, red hat on. Because I never read my Bible. I didn't ever start my relationship with Jesus. I had no commitment to him. He was a God that I only cried out to when I was in trouble. So that's what I said. The first level of relationship, of knowing people, is you have people that are just known persons to you. If you were in town or you were, you know, wherever you're at, and you saw the person, somebody said, who's that? You said, man, I know them. I know where they, you know, they live in Utopia, or I know they live in Uvalde, but, you know, you don't really know them. You just know who they are. We all have people like that we know. And then when they come up to you and say, hey, Robert, how are you doing? You say, hey, how are you, man? It's good to see you. And you just pray that you don't have to know their name. Hello? You know what I'm talking about. And then there's the second level where you're talking about acquaintances. You're acquaintances with people that you may know them deeper. You know where they live. You know what they do. And you know their name, right? But you don't really know them. You don't know. You've never been to their house. You've never, you know, really had relationship or eaten food with them or know what their favorite food is or what their likes are. And then you've got the third person. It's a casual friend where you traffic in the same places. Okay? So you know them a little bit better. But, you know, it's funny because if you think about it, we know people usually by association. So you may know some people that you went to school with, we'll say, and you know them in that category. And if you haven't seen them in 10 years, if you've graduated from high school and your 10 years have gone by, you haven't seen them, well, you may not have had a relationship with them in 10 years, but the relationship you have is based upon your time you spent with them when they were in school, right? And so that gets kind of crazy when you're my age and you're talking to somebody you went to school with and you haven't seen them in 30 years. Well, I don't know what's really about them in life. I don't know what they did. They've done more in life outside of me knowing them than I ever did knowing them, right? And then you have friends. Friends are somebody you spend enough time with and they know what you like. You spend enough time to know that, you know, that you, what food you like, or if you're, you know, what game you want to play, or what you would do or what you wouldn't do. You have more of a relationship with them. And then you have what I call close friends. Close friends know you, and they still like you. You know, because you don't have a real friendship with somebody until it's been tested. And you're still friends, right? So a real friend is somebody that knows you, knows you're crazy, but still likes you. Right? That's a real friend. Well, what God wants in life is he wants to have real true friendship with us. He wants to have a relationship and friendship with us. But what I'm calling it is fellowship. He wants to be able to sit down with us and we're not embarrassed.
Did you hear what I said?
God wants to sit down and talk to you, but he doesn't want you to be embarrassed because you're sitting there the whole time apologizing. Oh, God, I'm so sorry about what I did the other day, and I knew I shouldn't have done this, and I did that. Because, see, you can't have a relationship with somebody like that. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, if I had a person over to my house all the time, and they said, look, Robert, I'm so sorry I let you down. I'm so sorry I did this, and I'm so sorry I did that. And, you know, da-da-da-da. I said, man, dude, you're nuts. Get out of my house. Why do I want to sit here and listen to you? All you're doing is just, you know, this is not fellowship. Fellowship is conversing back and forth and being able to sit and talk and to have, you know, fellowship in a relationship with a person, okay? Now, for years, you know, it depends on what kind of a church you went to and denomination you were raised in, you know. You may have heard the term walking in the Spirit. And I remember when I first came into non-denominational, full gospel kind of circles, people were talking about, yeah, we got to learn to walk in the Spirit, brother. Got to walk in the Spirit, brother. And I didn't understand that because from where I came from, you know, walking in the Spirit sounded something to me like, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost kind of stuff or mystical, whatever. I didn't understand. But basically, all it means is when you hear somebody say, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit, it means that you have a relationship and a fellowship with God on a continual basis that you can understand his leading and his guiding. I mean, that's it. If you understand who the Holy Spirit is and you're not scared of the Holy Spirit will come and he'll guide you and teach you because he's the one that Jesus said, I don't want you to be like orphans on this earth. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down here to be with you. And if you understand the relationship with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, then you're going to understand how to walk in the Spirit because you're going to hear his voice and then you're going to follow it. All right? So we started out in 1 John. I mean, not 1 John. We started out in John chapter 3, verse 16. And we talked about the very first principle of the 3:16 principle is that you're going to have to understand is you have to understand salvation. You have to understand what it means for of salvation and lordship. You can't, listen, how, I don't want, and I'm not, listen, I'm not saying this to anybody here in this congregation or anybody watching. Listen, just listen to me. I don't want to have fellowship with anybody that doesn't have my back. None of us do. Why would you want to have somebody in your house, feed them a big steak, have a nice time, talk and have all this deal, and then find out the next day in the cafe they were down there saying, yeah, that guy's such a stupid idiot, I never did like him. Nobody would like that, would they? If I'm in a relationship, in a fellowship with somebody, I want that person to know that they've got my back, I've got theirs, we're in a relationship, right? Well, how much more does God want you to know that you're not a fair-weather friend? That you only want to have a relationship and fellowship with him when you're in trouble? You only want fellowship with him when you need him to do something for you? You only want to have fellowship and be around Jesus when you need his blood to forgive you for the sins you've committed? See, folks, we've got to understand something. He is God. He is God Almighty that created the heavens and the earth, but he wants to be your friend. We sing this song. We should have sang it this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. A friend? You see, he wants to be there with you. He wants to be riding in the car with you. He wants to be talking to you through the day. He wants to go through the problems of life that you've got. He wants to go through the good times in life that you've got. He wants to be there with you, but he wants to talk to you. And if you're not committed in the relationship, well, then how can you expect him to be committed in the relationship? Now, let me qualify that statement. Jesus isn't going to just say, well, I don't want to mess with Grand. You know, dadgummy won't talk to me. I'm not going to mess with the boy. I mean, I don't see Jesus sitting on the throne turning to God the Father and saying, man, just call the Holy Ghost off. Just leave him alone, man. He don't act right. You know, he ain't really committed in the relationship. No, Jesus is always there, but you're taking yourself out of the situation continually. The breach in the relationship is on your side, not his side. God is constant. He's always there. Hello? The breach comes on your side when you get off and get goofy. So John 3:16 is the first principle. We've got to be committed in our relationship. And that's where the term lordship comes in. Jesus doesn't, he doesn't want us to come and bow down like servants that, you know, are scared we're going to get beat. He wants to have a relationship with us, but he does want us to bow our knee to him in the sense that we honor him as the Lord of our lives. Hello? Are y'all with me? Look at the person beside you and say, that's a good point. All right. Number two. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. First Corinthians 3:16, the second 3:16 scripture. Do you not know that you are the temples of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So you got John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, you're the temples of the living God and the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. Now, wait a minute. Once you've made that commitment to Jesus, once you've invited him to come into your life, once you've said, I am a Christian, that's what I am. All right? The Bible says the Spirit of God comes and you become the temple of the living God. And the Spirit of God comes and lives and dwells on the inside of you. So if you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, don't you think he could talk to you? Don't you think that by being born again, you're wired to hear from heaven? Now, just listen to me here. Because the second point is you've got to learn to listen. Now, I have had people come up to me in life and say, hey, God said to me, and they told me something, and it was boinkers. It's just goofy talk. All right? So I want to tell you something. There is an element out there in life of deception. But just because there's an element of deception, does that mean that we're not going to listen to if God's trying to speak to us? Does that mean you cut everything off and throw everything away, throw the baby out with the bathwater? Hello? No, it means we have to learn the voice of God, and know it's the voice of God. It's not to say, oh, well, listen, don't talk to me because I don't know if you're right or not. Years ago, you know, it was as I started to walk with the Lord and trying to read and learn, and people always stand around trying to give me good advice. And man, it got to where, you know, this person is telling me this, and that person is telling me that, and this is over here doing this, and this is there, you know, just jerking me around from side to side. It just got crazy. And so one day I decided, you know, I've got enough faith to believe that God, you can hear my prayer. How many of y'all to believe that when you pray, at least God hears you? Huh? Lift your hand up if you do. When you pray, you believe God hears you. You lifted your hand, so I saw you, so now you're on the hook. You may not believe God's going to do it, but you at least believe he hears you, right? So I decided I'm going by faith. I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm just going to settle the score. And I just prayed a prayer like this. I said, Jesus, I want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from the devil. I don't want to hear from my flesh. I don't want to hear from goofy talk and crazy people. So, Lord, I just ask you right now, help me to hear from you because I declare I want to hear your voice. And I'm going to have enough wisdom to know what it is. You're going to let me know if it's you. And that ended it. It ended fear of, oh, well, is that God or not? Now, listen to me. It gets to where you can sort things up fairly easy. If it's something good, you ought to do it no matter what. If you feel like you should call a person and pray for them, that's all good. If you feel like you should bake somebody a pie, take over to their house and tell them that God tells you he loves you and cares about you, that's all good. Do it. If it just came out of your head, don't make no difference because it's still a godly thought. If you wake up in the morning and think, you know, I really believe the Spirit of God's telling me I should go over to so-and-so's house with a baseball bat and beat him, I can pretty much tell you that is not God. All right? I can pretty much tell you that the thoughts of burning buildings down, calling fire down from heaven, praying for hailstones to hit people in head, you know, that kind of stuff like that is not God. That's you. That's your flesh and your own goofiness. Okay? It's just pretty easy. Just sort it out like that. If it's good, it's probably God. Now, let's just say it wasn't a specific word from God. Well, then what did it hurt to be nice? You see what I'm saying? What did it hurt to be nice? Some people think, well, gosh, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to move. I don't know what to do because I don't know if I've heard God, if this is really God's direction or not. The Bible says God orders the steps of a righteous man. It does not say he orders his standing stills. God orders the steps of a righteous man. There's an element of faith that has to take place in your life that you have to step. You have to believe. You have to take a step in life and to believe God that he's ordering that step. That he will put your foot where it needs to be and you will be able to step in life and go where you need to go and down that road. And most of the time, if we stop and we listen, that on the inside of us, you will know if it's your flesh wanting something or truly God directing you. And the reason why is because if it's your flesh talking to you, you're trying to justify it. You're trying to justify it. When you have to go through the Bible and search up a scripture to confirm what you want, you better watch it, because now you're trying to justify and give yourself reason to say, yes, this God. Now, I want to show you this. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. I want to show you that some of the things that we miss in life is we miss that God wants to use the natural things around us to speak to us. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion that was called the Italian regiment. He was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the poor and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. Now when he observed him, he was afraid. He says, what is it, Lord? And he said, your prayers and your alms have come up for memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, at the house by the sea, and tell you what you must do. And when the angel spoke to him, had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and devout soldiers from among those who waited on him continually. And when he explained to them all this, he sent them to Joppa. Now that's a pretty direct fellowship with the Lord, wouldn't you say? I mean, an angel appears to you and speaks to you and gives him specific directions of a man named Peter and a house to go to and this and that. Yeah, that's really specific, right? That doesn't happen all the time. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It can happen in your life, but that's not usually the way your everyday conversation is going to go with the Lord, that an angel appears to you and tells you exactly what to do. All right? Okay, let's just go on down. Now, the next day, verse 9, they went on their journey. They drew near the city. Peter went up to the house, stopped to pray. About the sixth hour. Now, this is Peter. This is Peter the rock. This is Peter upon whom Jesus said, I want to give you the keys to, and you're going to build the church. All right? So Peter went up on the house, stopped to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and he wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Is that typical of a guy? We set about to go pray, but then we get hungry. And while he was thinking about what he wanted to eat, he falls into a trance. All right, now let's just see what happens here. And he saw heaven open and objects like a great sheet bound on the four corners descending to him. And he let down to the earth. And there were all kinds of four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And the voice said to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." What was Peter? He was hungry. What's he having a vision of? Killing and eating something. But Peter said, no, Lord, I can't eat that because I can't eat anything that's unclean or common. And the voice spoke to him a second time, says, "What God has cleansed, that no man call common." Now this was done three times, and the object was taken up from heaven again. Now verse 17. Now while Peter wondered within himself what the vision which he had seen meant, behold, men who were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry in Simon's house and stood before the gate. Now just stop there for a second. Excuse me. Here's Peter, he is naturally hungry. And he goes up, and so what I'm trying to say to you is, a lot of times God will speak to you in the natural things that you're going through. Peter is hungry, and so God says, "Oh, we'll speak to him this way. Let's just get him. He's hungry. He's already thinking about food. So let's just run. Let's just have a let him have a vision and see things of things he's not supposed to eat according to Jewish tradition. And I'm going to explain to him that the Gentile world is not unclean to me, that I want them to hear the gospel." Do you see how God took the situation of Peter being hungry and turned it into a revelational truth? So many times that I'll be working and building or doing something in construction, and God will use that situation about construction to speak to me. It's so easy to look what's going on right now, and there's water everywhere, and the grass is growing, and I say, "Man, when water comes, the earth just comes alive. Lord, when your spirit comes, the world comes alive." It's easy to see that example. If you were here today to tell me, if you would have told me, 4 months ago, "Robert, I'm telling you what, I heard the Spirit of God say that he's going to start raining down naturally on this earth, and then he's going to rain down his Spirit on this earth, and I'm telling you, it's all coming, good things coming." I'd have said, "Okay, brother, we'll see." And today I'd be saying, "Man, you heard God, you were right on. Are you with me?" Natural things are happening around us all the time. But so many times we're not listening for God. So therefore, we're missing what he's trying to say to us. Right here in these verses, let's just read on. Let me start 19 again. "Now while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them." So now he heard the Spirit of God say, "Hey, there's three guys looking for you." So Peter went down to the men who had been sent from him, from Cornelius. And listen to me. If you're up on the roof of your house, and the Spirit of God speaks to you and says, "There's three men downstairs, and they want to talk to you," and you get off the roof of your house and you go downstairs, and there's not three men there, you know what? You didn't hear God. But there's not really anything wrong with that. If you hear the Spirit of God, you're downstairs, and he says, "Go up to the roof and jump off, because three men are going to come rescue you." Well, now you're getting pretty strange, because it's going to hurt when you hit the ground. Y'all with me? But if you missed it like that, oh well, so what? Chalk it up to experience and keep praying for God to hear, for you to hear his voice plainly, and don't make mistakes. Folks, today we give up too much. We quit too easy. When things get a little hard and the struggle's a little difficult, we throw up our hands and I forget it. But I'm telling you, you need to get a passion on the inside of you to hear God's voice speaking to you. You need to get a passion to say, "I want to hear you from heaven. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want Holy Spirit speak to me. I want to follow the voice of my Lord and Savior." Amen. When you get hungry like that, God's going to be speaking to you. Okay, so then you know the story. He goes on down and he listens to the guys. The guys tell him what happened with Cornelius. Let's pick it up in verse 24. "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he called together his relatives and close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him." Now right there, was where, I want to tell you something, the devil tested Peter to see what he was made of. Because if Peter had said, yes, I am the great Peter and I have showed up to speak to you the way of life. Bow yourself down. God would have probably killed him right there. Right? What happens to us a lot of time in our walk with Jesus, once we start hearing God and walking in the Spirit and following the Holy Ghost, you got to watch it, because what the devil's going to do is give you the big head. Give you super spiritual ego where you think you're really something. Listen to me. Without the Spirit of God, we all are going to get blown away like chaff. But Peter was smart. He told the guy, get up. What are you talking about? I'm just a man like you are. And then if you know the story, what I love here is, let's pick it up. Cornelius tells him the whole story. Verse 34, Peter opened up his mouth. He said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears God and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. And that word which you have proclaimed throughout all the Judea began from Galilee unto the baptism of John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they've killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not only to the people, but the witnesses chosen before God, even to those who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And when he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead, to him all the prophets witness through his name, whoever believes in him may receive the remission of sins. So Peter's just preaching a good salvation message, right? 44. Now while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the words, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, and they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. Now Peter then answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who receive the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Now, what I love about this is Peter's preaching, and God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, just shows up. And everyone, God at this point messes with the religious tradition that the disciples were already getting into. Because, see, nobody would have ever prayed for somebody to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit before they had asked Jesus to come into their life, gotten saved. It's a principle. Oh no, you gotta pray a sinner's prayer, then you need to be baptized, and then you can get baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's what they were doing. God says, look, I don't need your order. God says, I don't need you, man, to put me in a box and say this is the way, only way I'll do it. I'm God and I'll do what I want to. I just need you to preach the gospel, to show up and be a mouthpiece for me. So Peter's preaching, and God just messes up the whole service. Man, the Holy Ghost falls. Everybody gets baptized in the Holy Ghost, and everybody's sitting around saying, well, I didn't think that could happen. That's not in the right order. I don't know, guys. Well, I mean, obviously it was God, but man, how dare he come in here and do things out of order? Again, Peter was smart, and he says, I don't know, boy, but the rodeo's on, and let's join. Huh? That's what he did. He just said, hey, man, the band started playing. Let's dance. Forget about it. And you got to understand something. When you're walking in the Spirit, when you're having fellowship with God, God is God, and God can do what God wants to do. And he may not do it in your order, but it doesn't make any difference, because he just wants you to know that he's God and you're not. It's very important not to think of yourself too highly. It's wrong to think of yourself as an old sorry rotten sinner that ain't no good and ain't ever going to make it. No, that's wrong too. But you can never get too lofty in your thinking, oh, I've got this all figured out. Because just about the time you think you get it all figured out, God's going to say, you don't have nothing figured out. Just about the time you've studied everything, got everything all figured out, and said, oh, okay, this is the way God's doing everything, then God's going to do something different. We've been through a time throughout the 70s up till now We've seen all kinds, God doing all kinds of things in charismatic movement where people were laying hands on people and everybody was being slain in the spirit, and we've seen all this kind of stuff like this, and now God is moving through and he's just saying, look, I just want to talk to you. I just individually want to come to your house and sit down when you're drinking coffee, and I want to talk to you. I want to speak to you. I want to help you. I want to be this. This is what I'm doing now. And everybody's like, but wait a minute, we need to have a big meeting. We need to be blowing smoke. We need to have the dog and pony show. We need to be doing it all this way. No, Lord, this is what we've been doing. We need you to come and do what we're doing and get in agreement with us, because this is how we can understand it, and this is what we need you to do. And he says, look, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do this. I'm telling you right now, we're seeing great, great, great victory from our Freedom Prayer program going on in church. And people are praying with people, and they're hearing the voice of Jesus, and Jesus is speaking to them, and he's just setting things right and helping people and blessing people and getting things straight in life. And it's all through the simplest, most, it's just, it ain't nothing that I've ever would have thought of. You know why? Because it wasn't the way I was trained. That wasn't what I knew. But a man that can hear God has got to be someone that can be able to flow and function and move with God as God moves. And when we get stuck in our religious traditions is when we miss God. Because we're standing at the boat dock saying, no, Lord, you've got to dock your boat here. And God says, no, we're going on down the river. Come on. And they're like, no, we're going. And then church denominations, we build our camp right there and say, this is the way it's got to be done. And then there's people, when it changes, they get mad and say, well, I'm not going to go do that. I'm not going to play anymore if you're not going to play like I want you to play. And we cannot be like that as people. We have to be flowing and hearing the voice of God at all times, seeing what he's doing. What God did 100 years ago is not what God's doing today. What he did 100 years ago was right and it was valid for that time. And so you may be getting up every morning, drinking your cup of coffee, and God's been speaking to you, and all of a sudden now you're not hearing the voice of God anymore. Well, maybe he moved out to the porch. Have you stopped and asked? Or are you just trying to get God to play like you want to play? You follow me? You got to be able to say, Lord, what? You always find that if you went into your bed and you prayed on your knees with your hands up and you prayed like this, that you heard the voice of God and you felt his presence. But now you don't all of a sudden. Well, maybe God says, look, man, you're wearing your knees out. You need to come over here and sit down on the couch. I said, well, that's not the way we've always done it. Get over it. We've got to, it says, if you ask, what? You're going to find, right? You're going to hear. If you seek him, you're going to find him, right? You got to seek him. But you've got to do it in the determination that you know he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have fellowship with you. But it's not on your terms, it's his terms. You got to find out where the meeting is. All righty. Y'all don't seem to like that one too much, but I won't go on. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. This is your third 3:16 scripture. Matthew 3:16. Now when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The third principle is, you have got to come to the understanding that Jesus is your source. When God the Father affirmed Jesus and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, Jesus that day got all of his affirmation from his Father. You have got to come to the place in your life in order to have fellowship with God, that He is your source, that is where you're going to get your affirmation. That is where you're going to get your love. That is where you're going to get your peace. That is where you're going to get your security. That is where you're going to get the answers that you need in life. You know how I'm always telling y'all that it cracks me up on the internet? You can go onto the internet and you can ask a question. And there'll be a string of sites that absolutely say, this is it, this is the way to do. And there is equally as many over here saying, that is absolutely wrong, don't do that. I read an article the other day that said that stress is really good for your body. And I'm like, that's about right. They told me coffee wasn't any good. And now then they say, oh, you ought to drink some coffee, it is good. They said, eggs will kill you. And I say, yeah, we're eating eggs pretty good, you know, you ought to eat some eggs. Now they say stress is going to kill you. And I said, oh, you know, stress is actually good for you. I don't know what's the truth. But what I'm saying is I do know the one that's the source that has truth. It's my Heavenly Father. And if you make Him your source and you make His Word your source, then all of a sudden everything has to be filtered through it. If He's your source, you're going to get your affirmation from Him, your life from Him. He's your life source. Everything comes from Him. Matthew 3:16, God says, you're my son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what He's saying to you today. I want you to hear me. That you're my son in whom I'm well pleased with. And I want to bless you. And I want to talk to you. I want to have fellowship with you. And I want to be there with you. And I want to help you through your problems. And every problem you've got, I have an answer for it, from a hangnail to the worst thing that you could ever imagine. I got an answer for it. Y'all with me? And when He becomes your source, you know, it's. I'm not saying we don't learn. We don't. You know, you don't talk to a doctor. You don't learn information. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that you just shut all that off. I'm just saying He's got to be your source. Like, you don't have to ask God, God, if I add 2 plus 2, is it really 4? Right? Some of those things are just givens, right? Lord, if I drop this, is there really a law of gravity? Well, yes, there is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about He's your answer, your source. The first thing you're going to do when hit with any situation is you're going to go to Him. Everything that I do, from my simplest work to, Lord, what do you want to do with the church? I go to Him with it. I mean, I talk to the Lord like, wow, Lord, the roof's leaking. What are we going to do about that? I'm looking for Him to give me an answer. Looking for Him to be my source. He said, well, Robert, just go fix it. Well, sometimes it's not that easy. Are y'all with me? When He's your source, listen to me. He's going to be the one that's going to give you fulfillment. One of the worst things I see in marriages is the wife wants the husband to fulfill her and the husband wants the wife to fulfill her. And that's wrong. There's only one thing that can be your source and fulfill you in life, and that's Jesus. Amen. And your relationship with Him. Because as humans, we're all idiots. I'm sorry. If you don't think you are, God bless you. Have fun in your mystical world of deception. Right? He's got to be your source. So the first thing is He's got to be, John 3:16, He's got to be your Savior. He's got to be your Lord. The second thing is we've got to hear from Him. You're the temple, 1 Corinthians 3:16. You're the temple of God, and He's in you. And the third thing is Matthew 3:16, He's got to be your source. He's got to be your source. And folks, when you get to that place, all of a sudden you're going to start then. It's like tuning in the dial. You're going to start getting his voice. And it's going to become clearer and clearer and clearer. And you know, if you notice, like if you're listening to an AM radio station, you got it tuned in your car or your truck, especially on these days like we've been having, there's a lot of static. And if you get by highline wires, you know, it starts to really, you know, get that staticky feedback through your radio and you can't hear quite so well. You may be sitting in a place that you've been tuned in to God, but you've just got a bunch of static going on right now. And you know what you have to do? You have to move. Move in the position you're at. You have to change. You have to come over here and say, because you really want to hear him. And nothing irritates me more than when I'm listening to an AM station, there's something I'm really trying to hear, and I start running through lines, and then you hear the voice, and then it just keeps, and I'm trying to listen, and I'm like, what? Oh, what did he say? I don't want a relationship like that with my Lord, right? That I'm just getting bits and pieces of what God's saying. I want to hear his voice, clear. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, put your Bibles up. Huh? Yeah.
Hello. Good morning. Okay, I saw this on Facebook. Some of you may not like Facebook, but I find cool things on there. So, and I thought this was really great because this guy, I think he was on TBN, and I think you saw it, Frankie. I don't know who the speaker was, but he had this example of what it's like when we are spending time in prayer, whether you're praying, worshiping, reading the Word of God, whatever. So he had this garbage can, and he filled this garbage can up with one of those smoke machines, and he would hit the back of the garbage can and little puffs of smoke would come out. And so the thing is, when we're being filled up with God, which, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing, and we go out into our day, whether you're dealing with work or business or you're sharing or ministering to somebody else, you've got this, the Spirit of God coming out wherever you go. And then you have to go back and spend more time with the Lord to fill yourself back up. But it was so cool because he said some of us are, you know, kind of laid back, and so you had little bitty puffs of smoke coming out here and there. And then some of us are kind of crazier, and so you got all this smoke coming out, you know, the Spirit of God going out everywhere. So anyway, I just wanted to share that because that was such a simple and down-to-earth example that, you know, the way God wants it to be. So, anyway.
Amen. Stand up if you would. And let's just go to the Lord right now in prayer. And if this prayer is speaking to your heart, well then just get joined in faith and agreement. Father, I just right now come to you in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we all are standing here, and I know you see each and every one of us. And we just want to have a relationship, a fellowship with you. We want our fellowship to be true. We want our fellowship to be sharp. And Lord, I just pray right now for each and every one of us where there's been obstacles in our life, things that have gotten in our way. Lord, that we just right now could get them all set aside. Get it out of our way so that we can hear you. Where we've made other things our source and not you, Lord, we just set it all aside right now. And we just repent that we've not looked to you first. And Lord, we just pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would affirm each of us. That you would fill each of us and place within our hearts just that vibrating, alive sound of your voice in our lives. Because that's what we want to hear. And Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for giving your life for us. And we just want to be your servants. Everybody say with me, say, Jesus, I want to hear your voice. I'm going to say it again. Say, Jesus, I want to hear your voice. Amen. Now, church, today we're practicing fellowship because we got dinner on the grounds today. And we're all, if you didn't know about it, we just want you to know. We want you to stay and eat and fellowship, make a new friend today. And practice what fellowship's all about. So if there's somebody that you don't know in church, well, then maybe you want to go meet them and start a new friend today. Amen? So can I have my prayer team come down, please? If you're here and you needed prayer or you wanted to come down and talk to somebody about freedom prayer, well, then we're here at the front for you. But take the person's hand beside you. Give their hand a little squeeze and say, man, I'm excited. Lord, as we go from here today and as we go out to just fellowship, I thank you, Lord, that you just bless each and every one of us. You bless all the food and all the hands that prepared it. Lord, you bless all of those that aren't with us today. And you just, Lord, as we fellowship today, let it be rich. Let it be all of you. And Lord, just be our source in it all. We just give you praise for it and thanks for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you, church.